Can you believe in a finite object possessing infinite power? Or that a mineral can be proclaimed the medicine of the 21st century? Or that the power of nature can win over the ignorance of man? If you can, you will know why our mission is to get Shungite to the masses. You are entering the Shungite Zone. This is the Shungite Radio Show produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. And welcome to the Shungite Show. It is September. Wow. February 18th, 2020. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Derek Condon and Mark Joseph, who is the moderator of Shungite Reality Facebook group, which I highly recommend that if you're listening to this show, I hope you also are a member of that group. Just put in Shungite Reality. Hi, guys. You there? Derek, you there?
Hi, Nancy.
I am.
Hey,
good
Mark.
Good morning. And September, wow, we're way off.
As I said it, I said, why is that in my mind? I don't know what that's about. Anyway, no, well, it's probably because it's going to be here before we even realize it. I can't believe it's the 18th of February.
That's funny.
I mean, like, my gosh. Anyway, time. It's all illusion. It's all a illusion. So, Derek, how's Mark doing? You guys were talking while I was setting up the station. Everything's good with both of you?
Oh, yeah. Doing well here.
Yeah, I was just talking about wanting to make it the Derek Show since he hasn't been on, like, in a while. A month, maybe? So, curious about what's all the happenings up there.
Well, we got lots of things we can talk about. There's just so many things happening out there. So, yeah, go for it, Derek. Why don't you update us on what you've been doing since you haven't been here?
Oh, sure. There's lots, and I know Mark has some questions, too. But what I can say, I guess I'll talk about the most recent event, we'll say, that happened here locally. So several people, I'm not going to put out names other than my own, did speak at a local city council meeting in Mount Vernon, Washington, regarding, 5G and the harmful frequencies. So I brought up, of course, the Shungite beehives and talked about how the effects of 5G are, exacerbating the harmful frequencies on bees and causing more harm, more losses. So we talked about that a little bit. And I didn't know there was going to be broadcast, so I guess that got broadcast at least locally on TV. So hopefully it alerts some more people that there is an issue. And then we also spoke a little bit about, and I have a friend who got some really good photographs of what I'm talking about, which is the local water tower. Now, granted, most of these water towers aren't being used for drinking reservoirs any longer, but there's still water in many of them. But regardless, and I'm talking about the water towers, located such that they're in downtown areas or near schools and things like that. And that's an issue because they're often wrapping them with antennas. And it's easy to miss because you think water tower up there, it's not a new antenna, it doesn't catch your eye. But for anybody listening, I'd suggest take a look locally at these water towers, big tanks up in the, up on legs or stilts, and see if there's some antennas wrapped around them. And then maybe consider, the houses that are around there. So that's a little bit of the information that was talked about during this meeting. Did you have anything?
Tell them the story about what was happening inside the building with the EMF.
Oh, are you talking about? Okay, so what she's talking about is there was another, let's call it an event that was held here locally about 5G as well, and it was at a local Roundtable Pizza. So myself and others, and you've all heard Janice Churchill before, so she was another one of the speakers there. So there were several of us, and we got there, and we were speaking to a group of, concerned local citizens. And on the opposite side of the wall, so just think long room that was kind of reserved for us to speak in. And so we would stand at the far end of it, where there was a projector screen. Well, right on the other side of that wall was the meters for the building. And evidently, and Janice went out there and found this out, but I believe there was four meters on the outside, but one of them was actually missing. So during our talk, when I was standing there, I actually got, I don't even know how to explain it, but just blasted. And what Janice had found out was, I believe she said on the hour, these meters, because she has different types of meters herself that she can test EMF frequencies and other cell phone frequencies and can tell when items are communicating. So she knew it would happen at certain times. And so I wasn't paying attention to this while I was speaking. So what it literally felt like to me, I don't know, I'd have to say, and I don't know what it feels like to put your head in a microwave, of course, but it was that. It was just, it was physical, it was tangible as it passed through me. So this meter communicated, I assume. What I can say, to be honest, is it absolutely felt like it was directed at me. And it hit me directly in the head. So it was very painful. And it really took me about 2 days to completely recover from it. I actually got nauseous. So to kind of walk on the more metaphysical side now. So when I work with energies and whatnot, I do it in very many aspects. It's, let's just say it's hard to have an effect on me if I don't want it to. And I was what I call armored at the time, but regardless, and I think many of you out there know what I'm talking about, it had no effect. It still blasted me and really had a major effect, not just physically, but, well, metaphysically, because then it limited my, I think, intuitive connection for a short amount of time. Just abilities work with energy. So that's what I'm saying. It fell directed at me because of how pinpointed it was. And it happened a couple times. And again, it was probably at least 2 days before I could recover from that.
Let me jump in here because I want to make sure that people understand. We tell you that, we can attenuate, change the signal so that it's biocompatible in the 4G environment, okay? Now, when he's being hit with the smart meters, it's not exactly the same thing. Well, it is the same thing. We can still attenuate the smart meters, all right? But they weren't attenuated at the time. Shungite. When I say we, I'm talking we, Shungite. But it's the amount of energy that comes through. Because I got the same thing. I had the same thing happening to me when I was traveling down a road that apparently they had intensified, or what they call densification of 4G in an environment. And it was along the highway when I was traveling through New York State. And I can absolutely understand what he's saying. It's like, even though the signal has been okay, it's biocompatible, it's still a huge amount of signal that you're getting hit with. And that's what so I don't want you to think that the Shungite wasn't helping him. It's just that that is more like what you're getting with 4G densification, and that is exactly what you will get with 5G, because it's exactly as he said, it felt like it was pinpointed. Okay, and the 5G, they get that system up. It's got a laser beam kind of an antenna that's looking inside your house and everything else. That's what you're going to feel. So, I'm sorry, Derek, but I wanted to make that point. Thank you.
Oh, no, absolutely.
You would agree, I'm assuming.
Well, 100%, yeah. And it was interesting, too, that they actually had one of the meters off of there, and you could just look inside with the open connections and all of that, too. I thought that was a little bit odd, and how they had so many out there, too. But, yeah, no, it was intense, and it really fried my brain on many levels.
And I suspect it was that open circuit. That would have been absolutely. And I would, if it's not illegal, it should be. Of course, those all should be illegal. I'm going to just take the time here for the smart meter, that quick smart meter update. Or not update, but explanation to people. Okay, the smart meters were looked at. And essentially what this thing does is it sends a signal through your house and then takes all sorts of readings, okay? Just like a radar, okay, a radar pops out a beam, then it takes out speed and direction and all sorts of things on a moving vehicle. You know, anybody that's been in a car and got hit with a radar, you know that's what they're looking at. Well, the same thing sort of happens in with a smart meter, except it's gathering up much more information. For instance, every appliance that you have on or don't have on, it can even trace bioelectromagnetic fields and tell you who's in the house. Okay, so these signals were designed initially by people who were sane to be able to help them monitor the usage of electricity. This is how it was sold. Well, they found out that the dang things burned up. They burst into fire. Okay, so the electric company said, we can't use these things. We'll burn down people's houses. Well, a few years go by, and the federal government comes out and says, hey, we got a real deal for you. We will match any money that you use to upgrade your electric system. We're going to match the money. So they all looked at each other and they said, my God, you know, that's pretty good, but what are we going to do? We've got it all working right. Hey, wait a minute. We got those smart meter things. We could spend a lot of money on those smart meter things, and we could charge the people, and we could, and then they would give us some money. Oh, let's do it. But they're dangerous. They caught people. That collateral damage. Let's go. Okay, that's what happened, is that the smart meters weren't part of an ideal situation of helping you out. It was a way of getting money, because they can't get more money unless they put more into the system. And that's how all of these smart meters were mandated by the electric companies, because they wanted to get the matching funds from the federal government. And you know how much I trust the federal government. So just an update. That's how come they're there. Questions?
Oh, I appreciate the update, yeah.
But that's what it's all about. That's how it's sold. We got two layers here. We got the layer of control, and then you got the layer of explanation to the people that are actually committing, you know, high crimes against humanity. How do you get them to do it? Well, you let them think they're doing something that's benign, something that's helpful. You're doing a good thing. And then you got the people that go, well, it's not exactly a good thing, but we're making money. So that's why the thing gets complicated, is that there's layers of reasons. It's like an onion skin. A different story for every layer.
Sure, and very few understand the big picture.
Well, you can't, because you're muddled in it, you know. People like us that can stand back and look at it, and, you know, that's my job. figure it out. But the other people, I mean, my gosh, this is so convoluted and confusing and scary. They just don't want to do it, and I don't blame them. So anyway.
So would this be considered a kind of DEW, directed energy weapon?
The smart meter?
What happened to Derek specifically?
No, because it wasn't an intentional attack on him. It is a DEW attack, in that it's just was automatically, you know, attacking, because those things are all going to attack you. But a DEW is normally, direct energy weapon, is normally used with weapon systems, or in the idea of you have a specific target and you're specifically doing something. That's the way that DEW sort of came about. But the reality is, yes, it's a DEW event.
I mean, it was specifically felt in my head. Maybe that was so overpowering in my skull sort of deal that I didn't feel it in the body. But that's the interesting part, is that it really was, I mean, I'd have to say 100% from, you know, basically the neck up, all in that spot. So now I'm thinking I need to look, and I don't even want to get close to the building now, but try and see where the meters were on the outside of the wall, if they were at head height. So there could be something to that.
I would think it was more, when you're getting hit like that, your whole body is taking the hit, but your brain reacts differently than the rest of your physical body. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah. Because what is the effect? Well, the effect is that your brain is being attacked, and the only way the brain knows to protect itself is to essentially what's the word I want to use? It's inflamed. Okay, it gets inflamed. All right, so when you get inflammation, you get pressure. When you get pressure, you can get pain. And your brain, the way it's constructed, just works faster that way. You said it took you, at least a day to recover it. Did you feel it in your body at that point, or was it still all in your head?
No, you know what? I was. And I had mentioned to a friend of mine there that I was physically nauseous, too, and that's a big deal for me to be affected that way on the nausea level. So then it's like basically being hit in the head with a frying pan. If I'm going to take notice on that level, it's gotten past my other, let's just say, defenses. It hit physically. So I think there's something to what you're saying as far as maybe my head, the brain being 40% cholesterol and all that, affected differently or reacted differently. But what I will add on is it sent me into a fog state in my head where I had to struggle to keep speaking and searching for what I was going to stay on topic kind of thing. And those who know me know I have that issue anyway, just because of how my mind works, but it did make that a whole lot worse.
Well, the foggy brain is the first thing that is going to happen to people. And unfortunately, if I've got a foggy brain and I'm living in a home that's got a bunch of other people, they've got foggy brains. So nobody knows that we got foggy brains. Mark?
That wasn't me calling you.
No, I know. It's those messages.
Oh, yeah, I was curious about the kind of armor that you had on that did help. When it happened.
Oh, sure. Now, when I talk about armor, I'm specifically using the word armor rather than etheric or energetic protection. So when I say the word protection, or anybody does, it kind of puts off meaning you're needing to protect yourself. And that's a whole nother energy frequency. But if you think armor, think tough, like in your own strength, things like that. And that's an energy overlay that happens. So that's why I say armor. So when I was armored, or when I'm talking about that, what I've actually done, and I'll go through it relatively quickly here so I don't drag it out too long, but it's really starting from the inside, not the outside. So I'm talking about armoring myself physically and energetically, all my levels of body, the emotional, physical, energetic ones. So when I'm in these environments, I know I can get targeted sometimes. So the armoring is what I'll do is, again, not bringing energy or anything from the outside and overlaying it over me and over any issues I might already have in my energy field. I'll just basically turn on, I think that old ET movie where you turn on your heart light, but think white light. So bring it from within, lighting up your heart. And this is all, of course, done in your imagination, and have it go past your body, past where your arms can reach out, because there's some chakras that are off your body that aren't commonly talked about. So in this imagination or armoring, once that white light is that far, then I put up a C60 molecule, that buckyball, and there's a reason for it being sacred geometry, as we've talked about, and Nancy knows in depth the strength of it. Basically, put that C60 or soccer ball shape around you, because you've now cleared everything from your heart out, removing it that way, and then silver mirrors on the inside and out of the segments of the C60 molecule. And what that's going to do is think stop any negative or harmful energies. You don't have to know exactly what that is, but there's a reason doctors and scientists use silver and colloidal silver and things like that. It has actually a healing frequency as well. So in essence, you're in this white light, standing in the soccer ball shape with silver mirrors on all those segments inside and out. And that's your, think, etheric armoring. So no negative or excess can even get past that. So that's in basically short what I'm talking about when I say armor. And I've used that in working with, let's just say, not so positive entities to kind of stay hidden from them. You can kind of walk around invisible, believe it or not, or just working in energies. So if you're in high stress environments, you can think, again, put that buffer, and it's a love buffer, so that white light you're emitting from your heart, just think love frequency, and that's basically the armor that you can use. And you can use it on others, so if you have a little sick cat or dog, you can do it on them, or if you're going to go to somebody's house or something, you can preemptively do things like that to calm energies.
I want to jump in here because Christia Cummings Slack, who is known as the Angel Medium, and she works very closely with angelic realms, she said one day she started talking about God's armor. And for those people that are really want to get into the concept of energy bodies and who we are and the positive effects that human thought can have, Derek just explained to you how you can take control and do this. However, for the vast majority of people, you may not really be able to do that because you haven't opened up to that, those facilities that you have within your own self to actually work energies, to become magicians, because magic is the manipulation of energy, and your own body is a huge energy field. But when Christia said, you know, talked about God's armor, and I sat back and I said, oh, God's armor. And all of a sudden it was like, you know, like a knight in shining armor. All of a sudden I felt all of this like protection stuff just come up, like I was wearing a suit of armor. So if you are just out there and you're not quite understanding what we're saying here, this is a quick fix. This is the spiritual world giving you the same thing that Derek explains you can do yourself. But right now, we need to have people become, you know, understanding that there is a spiritual realm, because some of the stuff that we get into is really scary. But there are, it's a way of learning. We're learning, and as we learn, we're growing very, very fast right now. I mean, the amount of people that are starting to wake up and starting to flow with the, oh my gosh, you know, just don't ever get freaked out, because we can do this. We can make the changes that we need to survive and thrive. Okay, but there's different stories and different ways of doing this. So even though Derek gave you one and I'm giving you another, you are the one that will know, because you'll feel it. Right, Derek? You feel it.
Oh, there's no doubt. You absolutely feel it. Oh, yeah. And others around you will, too. It's energy. It's there. It's just as real as, you know, the phone in our hand or whatever we're talking on. No, it's legit. And you'll absolutely feel it on many levels.
Did you have any kind of shungite on you when that happened, when you got hit?
I was wearing a shungite malachite bracelet, so the beaded ones on there. So I always have one of those on. I did have that on there. And it's, again, when I was specifically hit, and I felt the blast, it really just, I even paused speaking because it threw me off so much. So I didn't even have the wherewithal, because it was so drastic, to pay attention to my body to see if I was, say, you know, maybe sending the energies off somewhere, or they were, say, gathering or something like that. I just couldn't even focus that much to even have any clue on what the bracelet was doing on my hand. Again, I was probably, I would say literally 3 feet from these meters, because the wall, you know, it's what, 6-8 inches thick probably. And they were directly on the other side. And I was literally backed up against this wall because of just the situation when it was hit. So it was pretty overwhelming.
You didn't have a cosmic silver on pendant?
Okay, well, here's the catch to that one. I had gifted it away, my personal one, which on occasion happens. Very rarely my personal one. In fact, the last one was given to a large redwood tree. I think I talked about that on a show once. But there was an individual that, let's just say, it was necessary. So I gifted it, and so I was without at that time. But I've got
it. Well, there's your answer as to why you got hit that bad.
I think it was taken advantage of, exactly, not having that with me as well. And those are phenomenal. What we're talking about is cosmic silver shungite nuggets or pendants. In fact, I just removed another batch, which is where we tumbled the shungite with pure silver for 3 days. But yeah, I think you're right. That's a good point. I did not have that with me.
Because when I was out there and getting hit like that, I did not have that. We had just developed that product. I didn't even have that product on me. I did have the resin heart. It had the bee thing in it. But it wasn't until my sister, who just happened to have a Shungite turtle with her, that she was returning to me because her husband thought I was crazy. But anyway, she returned. When I got that Shungite, which is the Shungite turtle, which has got the S4 and the spiraling of the Oregon, and a lot of other things in that. After that, I was, even though I knew, because it was every 20 miles, it was every time this another cell tower was required, you know. After that, I did not get hit, and I did not feel the hits when I went back home, you know, to Massachusetts. But I will tell you that as soon as I was on the trip back home, I was sick as a dog physically. I mean, I had intestinal distress. I was knocked out. All I wanted to do was sleep. Even though I had protection, because at first I didn't. And so, you know, it was like bang, bang, bang. For at least, it was like at least 100 miles that I was getting hit before she remembered she had it. And the thing of it was that it was turned off. You know, because these will go to a turn-off position if they're not being worked, and that's what I found, is when she handed it to me, it was off, and I went, turn on, turn on, turn on, you know, and boom, you know, oh, thank God. So you hadn't mentioned, because I only know that you always wear the Cosmic. I didn't realize you didn't have it, and that's a good indication as to, why don't you go back there with it on and see what happens? Great test.
Oh, yeah, well, I don't go anywhere without, so I'm already wearing one right now again. And I will have to go back and, again, see where those meters are situated on the outside of the wall, but I'll have it on then. But, yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, you know where these things are. You know, they're horrendously dangerous. And I hate to put human beings as guinea pigs, go do this, you know. But you've also got Janice. And did she say every hour it was peaking?
She did. She had some really unique meters there of all types, and I couldn't even begin to speak.
See,
on
that doesn't make sense to me, because a smart meter normally beeps every 14 minutes or something.
She was saying more, so again, I can't speak on that specifically. She was saying more than that. I'm just being vague because I don't remember. But
okay,
no,
she might have.
Yeah, there was more.
She might have gotten. She might have gotten a big blast, you know, coming through at that point. I bet it was a reset of the system. You got an open circuit. It's going to keep trying to reset. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She was getting all kinds of readings. I think it's just what you're saying. The big one was like on the hour sort of deal, and then she was getting other fluctuations. But she did mention her devices, because they were being limited by the manufacturer, could not read specific 5G frequencies, but it could show all the way up to the 4G levels, and then that other things were happening. So she was getting readings.
Yeah. Don't go anywhere without your Cosmic.
Nope.
But then, go ahead, Nance.
No, I'm sorry.
Okay. So people could also just have on a smart sticker, like double taped, instead of buying the Cosmic Silver. If that's too expensive for them, maybe just as an alternative. I have both, but just giving people options on that they shouldn't have to buy a Cosmic Silver for that degree of protection or armor.
What they can do is try, maybe, and they can laminate their own, but we do provide laminated of the smart stickers. Put one of those in your wallet sort of deal, because there's all kinds of things on some of these cards as well. So I'd suggest maybe putting that in your wallet. That's an easy way of carrying it.
Yeah, I've always defaulted to at least having a smart sticker on, you know, wherever you go, just because you never know where you're going to run into out there. It's a frequency war going on. So,
well, I will add that I do prefer the Cosmic Silver Nugget to be wrapped and held, and so it falls right around my heart chakra area. So, and I do work in that energy a lot and things. So I do find location does help depending on how you're working and what level you realize you're working with energies. So I just want to point that out there for those that, you know, are aware of location as well. So a point being, if someone was using a pendulum, I would suggest maybe rather than, let's say you're sitting down, rather than holding it, because then it would kind of fall in line, if you're sitting down using a pendulum, that is, with your hand, it'd kind of fall in line with your root chakra because you're seated. So I would suggest maybe holding your hand and pendulum up to your chest area, so it kind of think in line with your heart chakra, different energies coming through there. So that's, I'm just going to get in there quickly to show you what I'm talking about, location of where you might want to have these devices as well.
Well, it's more than this, okay? When we, all right, the smart sticker is like having three S4 stickers. But beyond that, because we understand the criticality of geometry, there is a geometric form when these things are made, okay? They do protect you, absolutely protect you. The problem isn't, at that point, getting protected from the signal being damaging in and of itself, okay? Because it has been turned around. The problem is the amount of energy that can hit you. And that's why, yes, I understand the cosmic is more expensive. It's because it's silver and it's tumbled. And, you know, I'm sorry, it's costing money to do this. But it's the orgon that's also being brought into your system. So when you have that wire wrapped around that cosmic silver saturated pendant, you have got it's like a dynamo of a energy form that balances out your electromagnetic field. So yes, you can get the S4 laminated and you put it in your shoe. You can wear it in your, you know, wherever you need to do it. But you also really do need at least one of the wire wrapped pendants that are affordable, you know, the raw wrapped ones. And again, it's because of the orgon is always being brought into one of the S4s that are resin based, okay? It's being brought in. But when you have the wire, you're creating a directionality to it. And I'm still the one that's wrapping most of these things. So you got a directionality going up the field of shungite that is rotating in the same way. So now you've got like a dual field out there that is balancing your electromagnetic field, because you just got, it's like somebody body slamming you. You know, only we're talking energy. So when you get body slammed, and there are energy devices out there that see this. When you get any kind of a Wi-Fi in your system, your entire electromagnetic field begins to go off center and towards your left side. Unless you got shungite. And then it comes back in. But, you know, it's not just use just protecting yourself by attenuating the signal. The reason the smart signal is smart meter, the smart sticker is being, I'm recommending for a lot of reasons, is because it's a complicated field in and of itself because of the geometry. And again, we're working with three piles. It's the Tesla 3 thing again. So it's that's what it's all about. You can use the S4. Again, it's layers of protection. And really, if you can just get yourself in the cheapest way you can do it, you're going to start feeling better. You're going to start thinking better. You know, and just if you want to get a little more protection, because some people, they don't get into buildings where this is complete Wi-Fi unless you got a child and then your school is, or you go to church while you're using the antenna on your church. I mean, you know, but don't let the money stop you from getting the protection. Seriously. We have money back guarantee. You can get your money back if you don't think it's helping. And, you know, over the 6 years, we've had very few of those. And their reasoning was kind of weird. But, I'm sorry. Go ahead. We're trying to let this be Derek's show.
Oh, no, it's not at all. No, I'm glad you said all that and went and elaborated. Perfect.
I was wondering if there's any way we could see the video of the council meeting, if there's a way to put it up, or I don't know, is there a link you could share in the group later?
I'll have to look and see if that was something that was archived. And it was really just a few minutes each of us had to do. And luckily there were several of us there. So we kind of lined it up such that kind of bogarted it for, I don't know, probably close to 10 minutes there, speaking on different levels of it. So, but yeah, I'll try and look for a link and see if I can't share. We'll post it in the Shungite Reality Facebook group when and if we find it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, the Tesla thing was that came into my mind too. Was looking through a few quotes. It was, if you want to know, or if you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. And then another one, I don't care that they stole my idea. I care that they don't have any of their own. And then this last one was good. The scientists of today think deeply instead of clearly. One must be sane to think clearly. But one can think deeply and be quite insane. So kind of put everything in frame of what's going on nowadays.
Nice.
Let's see what. Oh, so you've been having a lot of talks, like almost every week, like not just at the store, Mystical Wares, but let me see the ones I was curious about. You had one on Stop 5G on the 1st. That's the one you're talking about, the round table pizza, right?
That was that one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how did that go overall, aside from the incident?
It went really well. So we've still got making connections from that. And the organizer, a good friend of ours, who's really on the forefront here locally regarding 5G topic and whatnot, she's doing fantastic. She's actually brought in a friend who did videotape it. So it has been videotaped, the one I'm talking about, and that's being put together as we speak. I don't have a time frame, but we'll make that available when it is ready. So the whole discussion, I don't remember how long it was, probably an hour, hour and a half or so, was recorded. So we'll get that out there. But it went well. So we had, I know there was at least one or two beekeepers there. There's quite a big group of people. So it was nice to see. Many interested parties have come into the store. You were talking about Mystical Wares, which is local, since that discussion or talk, and asked additional questions and have researched more into it. So that's great. And they're going to go out and discuss it more with others. And that was kind of the goal, is, you know, get people speaking, raise the alert and let people know that it is an issue. So, no, it went well.
Okay. That had me thinking, Nancy, do you think Derek would be a good guest on Radio 5G? Because, you know, he's in touch with the beekeepers worldwide, and then 5G is becoming a worldwide thing, aside from his own experiences locally. But I could ask some questions here, too, if that would help.
Yeah, because I have a hard time getting him to schedule this show because he's so busy. So ask him anything you want about 5G. Because honestly, this is where we've got to turn our attention to stopping the 5G and understanding what's really happening around us. So the more we talk about this, the more we educate ourselves and others, the better it's going to be. So go for it, please.
Okay. No, something was going on in my head as you were saying that. I've been keeping up on stuff of 7G and 6G, actually. These other guys researching into it. But as far as the 5G stuff goes, what was I going to ask? Oh, so you have contacts of beekeepers worldwide. Have they commented anything about running into that, or what they've done against it, or any of their experiences shared?
Sure. Yeah, the ones I have been contacted about regarding towers, of course, you're going to know where I'm going to go here with this. Complete losses, calling it colony collapse disorder. So that's, of course, for those who don't know, when basically you go to bed at night with a healthy, happy bee colony out in your beehive, wake up in the morning and they're basically 100% gone. That's what a beekeeper, it's not that you have thousands of bees around your hive and you see them dead or anything like that or other issues. They're just gone. And that's colony collapse disorder. And that's the frequency part of it. So they're seeing just that, waking up in the morning and seeing the bees just completely gone. And then they're noting things like, well, new cell towers. And this is in, I'm not talking about just America. We're talking worldwide, of course. This is in, I want to say one of them was in Greenland where they had, were putting up cell phone towers. They never had cell phone service before. Well, they sure have cell phone service now, but no bees. So it's becoming almost to where it's like, you know, take your pick sort of thing. And I choose the bees myself. But the losses, again, they're, again, every continent all over on the feedback I'm getting for those that, that tie in and see that the, be it smart meters, what's also affecting, I'll add on to this, will be beekeepers are having losses near the, I guess you can call them transformers or substations, because they're adding on devices, transformers and different things, I should say receivers and transmitters on the transformers at these substations. So that's harming the bees too, because these power substations are near fields often, at least in this area. And I've noticed that they're just tying in additional, and it looks like 5G antenna systems, and they're brand new and so low level to the ground, that is, that the local farmers are having bee losses here. So I'll watch them truck in new bees from California, where they're down there breeding them, and just whole semi-trucks driving up north here with bees on them. And then they'll just drop them off. And they're seeing them, some of the beekeepers in the commercial industry are seeing bees as, how would I term this? Well, a loss. They're seeing it, well, we're going to lose 90%+ of our bees every year. It is what it is. Let's just work that into our cost and just keep getting new colonies from California and bringing them up, rather than sustaining, maintaining, growing a bee colony up here locally. So that's unfortunate. That's, again, not everybody by any means, but some of the commercial ones are having to do that, I'm seeing, just from lack of available nooks or, I think, starter beehives, which is another, well, we'll call it issue up here in many places, that we're having to start from those because of bee losses from colony collapse disorder. So they're having to restart their hives every year from, think of it as a baby hive or a half of beehive. It's called a nook, and N-U-C is how you spell it.
Let me just jump in here and say that there's this great book out there called Cosmic Reality. And in the last chapter, I covered there's a lot out there, but I covered this one research that they did. And their conclusion, okay, is that after 10 days, the worker bees never returned to the hives in the test colonies. Now, what was it that happened? They put a cell phone on near the bees. And 10 days later, you had colony collapse. I can't see of any more bigger proof than this, except for the fact that I just found this out like last week. Marconi, when he set up the first full-time radio antenna system, it was on the Isle of Wight off of Great Britain, and they set up this, and this is just, you know, your basic low-level radio. He put up the tower and they turned this thing on, and all the bees died. So not making the connection, it was the, you know, the radiation from the antenna. They went and they got a whole bunch more, and within 2 days they were all dead. This was 1906. They've known about this for a very, very long time. And there's been proof of it.
Surprising.
You know? So, just a little history. And facts. You know, when I first started talking about Wi-Fi being responsible for the death and destruction of the insect world, people thought I was crazy. But that's because I'd seen the studies. I knew what was happening. Yeah, it's. I listened to a TED talk. Yes, last night, and it was, you know, just this is what happened to me, and da da da. It was from 2016. You know, I mean, this is. But how much farther can we go? We got to get proactive, and proactive is doing as we ask. Take a chance with Shungite. You know, you can go to the cosmicreality.net website in the Shungite store and get a bunch of Shungite and just take it out and put it all over the place. because the bees have had such a drastic positive reaction to just shungite nuggets. If the bees do, and they're getting protected, in 3 years, there has not been a colony collapse at Derek's place, nor has any bee died of a disease or a mite. You know, so give shungite a chance, please. Because if you don't do anything, you're not a game player. But if you just decide, this is what we're going to do, we're going to put this shungite out, it's going to help all of nature, and it's going to help all of the people to get out of the fog that they're in, so that they can realize, you know, you're like frogs in a pot of water, and it's about to boil. Get the hell out of the pot. That was a pretty good analogy. Anyway, back
over. Somebody on Facebook. I was going to say, yeah, somebody on Facebook the other day actually made a comment to me about, you know, well, there's no proof that frequencies are harming the bees. And I did a simple Google search, and it must have taken me all of 10 seconds to paste about a dozen links to studies, not some article, not me talking about it or anything like that, actual studies. And it took a matter of seconds. So I don't know if those are trolls or what's going on, but it blows my mind when you can type in 3 or 4 words in any search engine and you can find the studies showing that frequencies harm bees, and not just that they harm them. They're getting specific now. They're showing which frequencies, which gigahertz, what it's doing to which bee, be it a worker bee or queen bee, and how it's affecting them. These studies have all been done, and these are years old.
Yeah, I just, when I run into something like that, especially online, I just let it go. There's just enough information out there. If people want to find it, you know, it's there. Some of your other talks you had, I think you had a shungite and shungite beehive talk last month. Derek, how did those go?
Oh, yeah, I had another one. I think it was this last Saturday, and that went well. We had, as we usually do, a variable audience from, we had beekeepers. I think there was a doctor in there as well, and everybody's coming to listen on a different level, or even the metaphysically minded individual. So they're looking at it from frequencies or the bee perspective, or as I jokingly say, the woohoo perspective. And we tie it all in together. So they usually go real smoothly. A lot of questions come out, and I get to tie in things like, you know, how we use shungite on the beehives. And again, that's from nuggets on the entrance to working the powder into the exterior paint. All with great results. And then I'll point out, well, don't just limit it to your bees. Now think of yourself, your house. Even think, hey, you got a doghouse in your backyard. Hey, I'd probably suggest painting the outside of the doghouse or the inside, either way, in that case. Yeah, lots of good questions. And then the doctors and scientists kind of bring in, of course, that aspect. So I get to talk more about the C60 molecule and the ways scientists are using it to have effects on radiation. They're building gloves out of shungite powder with C60 molecules, and they're for high radiation environments. So there's lots of uses, and we've talked about many of those before. But it's usually interesting because with that group or those groups of people, there's such a variance in there that the questions kind of go everywhere, and everybody gets to learn different aspects.
That's great. Just going through your events page here, Mystical Wares. How did the intuition talk go? You had one, enhancing your intuition, I think.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I give those, I think I call them intro to enhancing your intuition, free classes at Mystical Wares a couple few times a month. And those inevitably, of course, have shungite somehow worked into them. And it's either by me bringing it up or somebody in the class itself. But so they go really well as far as, so I'll tie shungite into that because of its metaphysical aspects as far as removing excess energies, stresses, lots of ways of looking at it. When those are removed, you're more able to focus and think more input comes in. So I'll pass around during the class sometimes one of the cosmic silver nuggets, and You know, it's kind of funny because I get to watch their faces. For those that haven't touched it or don't know what it really is, their eyes kind of light up, and because they can feel it, and they'll talk about it more often than not, what they felt. And it's always a good feeling. So we'll do things like expand on ways of enhancing your intuition. That's many hours talk there, and it always goes different. So we leave it open to questions and answers. We talk about tools. And to tie it back into what Nancy was even talking about with copper, as far as wrapping the cosmic silver nuggets, we bring that in too, because copper is just that, a conductor, or an easy channel for energies to flow, the orgone energy. So if you have things like a copper pipe and you work them into organite devices, and I teach this during the class, that's a way to constantly have the energies moving, like she was talking about, and then introducing your own think song on a playlist or intent into that energy. And so I'll show them, you can write, you know, an intent or love or healing energy towards this individual, stick it in this little copper pipe in your organite device. I'm not put photos of these on the mysticalwares.net website as well, for those that want to see it, but they can make their own at home. But again, that's a way of boosting intuition or your intent or energies, lots of ways of looking at it. But those classes are a lot of fun to do.
Yeah, because in the last year you had a make and take organite device class. So you probably added some shungite and various other material in there, right?
We work shungite powder or shungite honey into all the organite devices. And then again, we show people that they can do this at home and don't think just resin. So we use organic beeswax as our layers. And then in that, we stagger the organic layers, the beeswax, the metal particles, and then your individual, as I like to term it, songs on your playlist, because you're building a little energy device or radio. So maybe you want a layer of turmeric in there for anti-inflammation or things like that, or some turkey tail mushroom particles for curing cancer, things like that. So there's lots of songs or levels you can put in your device to make it custom. And then, so to give the visualization, what I was then saying is, so think a small drinking glass, and you can do these in any shape container, but we like them see-through, so you can, of course, see the layers. So a little water glass, pour a little wax in there, start staggering your layers of ingredients, and there's really no limit to that. And then right in the middle, as you begin, you put that little copper pipe, and that's your little channel or mover of the energies in the organite device. And that's where, when you're all done, you can roll up your little note with your intent and stick it right in the middle.
Let me just jump in here, because yesterday I asked him how his dog Jimmy, old Jimmy, was doing, and he said, well, actually, you know, he got really old, but then he didn't get any older, and he's doing rather well. And then we got talking about something else. Finally, we got that these organite devices. And Derek said to me, what did you tell me about the note?
Yeah, that's funny, because often with me, I forget half the stuff I'm doing. But this very first organite device, I guess we'll call it a reprogrammable one with that little copper pipe in there, I'd actually taken, again, a little sticky notepad and wrote, because I was thinking of my best buddy, Jimmy. I wrote love, little heart on there, love Jimmy, and sent him loving, healing energy. Rolled it up, stuck it in there, and so that's on display at Mysticalware Store right now as the first example of this type. And that just, and so I hadn't given it any thought that that's what I had done. Jimmy, which is, I don't know his exact age, but he's a larger dog. He's up there in the high teens now. So he's, I'd have to say he kind of paused in aging. He's up and moving again, no issues there. Eating, he's inhaling food. So, no, working fantastic. It just didn't even occur to me that, hey, wait, that made a big difference. And I work with energies every day, so it's not lost on me. But even something like that, I would take the time and effort to do it. So let's say even our other dog named B, of course, B-E, let's say she had an issue. I could take that little note of Jimmy's or leave it and add the same type of note or intent with her information, or even a little hair, and put it in there. And that adds her, and it's a female dog, frequency to that healing device. And it was a healing one I made. You can make different types with different frequencies. But that particular one was to give a 3D physical love and energetic healing to whatever, again, intent was placed in that copper pipe. And in this case, Jimmy benefited. So, hey, I'm not going to change anything. I'm leaving it in there.
Now, of course, that's not, you know, certified, documented example that what he's saying is true and happened. But if we hadn't had all those people who were doing the same thing, observing and seeing changes in animals and in their own environment and their own health for the last 6 years, we wouldn't know what we have. So we are the observers. We are the scientists. You observe, you contemplate, and then you report. And this is what we're seeing. We can't wait around for the scientific certified world to catch up with us. So these are the things that you have to look at. Don't underestimate. Because, I mean, Derek did it. He missed it. Wow. I did this, and now Jimmy's doing this. You know, and that's the details that we need to pay attention to, because it's the only way that we can verify what we're seeing and telling people.
Yeah. See, I'm not trying to convince anybody of anything. It's for them to figure out and decide. I'm just showing or talking about my observations and saying, hey, this is what happened. This is what worked for me and Jimmy in this case. So you might want to give it a try. But again, even on the, for those that want the scientific proof or knowledge, Organite devices have already, that's already shown to be on physics and metaphysics. Not that there's a difference there, because there's not. But in both camps, let's say, the jury's already in. It works. It is what it is. So let's use these devices and, hey, enhance them. Let's put things like the, and I'm going to start putting it in there, the cosmic shungite silver powder and things like that as well. But don't limit it to what I'm talking about. Everybody else get creative. Do their own thing and then share it with all of us. Give us all ideas and suggestions that work.
Absolutely, because that's how we kept, somebody saw that. Can we duplicate it? You know, I mean, this is definitely, talk about grassroots. This is grassroots science. And I so appreciate Mark for being such a admirable player in this this amazing trip we're taking together.
Digging stuff out, and I like it.
Yeah. Together.
Fun. We're close to break, right? Or should I ask the next question? Because we have a few minutes.
Go ahead. Ask it.
Just going down the events list here for Mystical Wares. I wondered how shungite could work with aromatherapy, because it says blending, aromatherapy blending, or maybe you guys have advice for maybe for like a humidifier, because I've been playing around with that idea too.
Oh yeah, that's a great idea, and I've done just that. So on the aromatherapy one, yeah, we have a friend who's makes some fantastic aromatherapy oils and different items. But what I'd suggested was maybe putting a and you can do it in different ways, but you can have a sticker on the outside of the bottle, but she even puts little crystals in her aromatherapy bottles. But you could also put a little, we call them bucky bags. So the little tiny chips of shungite, depending on the size of your bottle, but you can put those in there as well. But really what I do on my oils is I have, and you can get a shungite coaster, a shungite tile, or even a nugget. And I put the little bottles of various oils, like I have an oregano oil bottle here in front of me for various reasons. And I'll put that in the frequency field of the shungite. So nothing inside of the bottle, but I'll put it right on top of, again, for example, our coasters or a piece of shungite tile to have it in that area or environment, so that that little bottle of aromatherapy oil isn't picking up other frequencies, because they will do that. I've seen some, and I've brought some, or I should say, some have been brought for me to look at in Mystical Wares to look at. And I can tell that, you know, it sure feels like something negative was around it, because who knows, maybe these oils were shipped across country in a semi-truck that went under these antennas or these harmful environments. And all these different things matter and affect the, and I don't care if it's an apple being shipped to you from across country or a bottle of essential oil. Frequencies matter on all levels, as we all know. So there's a whole, think clearing, resetting involved. So what I'm getting at here is I see that's not necessary when I keep my bottles of oil and or waters or tinctures around shungite. It stops them from absorbing any additional harmful frequencies. So I think, hey, maybe a good idea shipping anything, maybe have some shungite with it or in the area or on the trucks, but have it during shipping. So I have local friends here, so I've had to start making colloidal silver and ozone water because for the colloidal silver example, they've had to buy it at a local store where it sat on the shelf and again was made in who knows what environment and what thoughts or emotions even that truck driver had or the person packing it with the forklift on the pallet. All of that matters. And again, antennas you drive under. So the end result, you've got some colloidal silver that sat on the shelf for who knows how long in what frequency or environment, and you're going to use that as a healing modality. Well, I would suggest everybody just, and it's easy to do research, look at making it themselves at home, and then again, just use shungite energized water, tell it you love it, and then do it. So that's one way of, and I know we're getting near a break here too, so I'll kind of stop there.
All right, so we'll take that break. Hunter Hayes, Invisible, it's 4.5 minutes. We'll be right back.
Crowded hallways are the loneliest places for outcasts and rebels. Anyone who just dares to be different. And you've been trying for so long to find out where your place is, but in their narrow minds there's no room for anyone who dares to do something different. Oh, but listen for a minute. Trust the one who's been where you are, wishing all it was sticks and stones. Those words cut deep, but they don't mean you're all alone. And you're not invisible. Hear me out. There's so much more to life than what you're invisible. All invisible. So your confidence is quiet. To them, quiet looks like weakness. But you don't have to fight it, 'cause you're strong enough to win without a war. Every heart has a rhythm. Let yours beat out so loudly that everyone can hear it. Yeah, I promise you don't need to hide it anymore. Oh, and never be afraid of doing something different. It's
here's to anyone who's ever felt invisible.
invisible. It'll be invisible.
And welcome back to the Shungite Show. It's February 18th, 2020. My name is Nancy Hopkins. With me is Derek Condit and Mark Joseph. And this song, Invisible, I probably heard it five dozen times. You know, I mean, I play it all the time. And as I'm listening to it this time, I'm thinking, what is more invisible than the insect world? What's more invisible than the microorganisms that live in the soil? And we have got to make these people invisible to everybody, because this is the first line of destruction that has occurred, and I'm saying has occurred. You know, we can't lose our focus on the fact that this is a definitive time in history, in position in the universe, for humanity to step up and take charge of their reality instead of allowing whoever has charge of the old reality. Let them go. It's an old reality. We can build our new, a new reality based on the things that we think are important. And one of those things is, if we don't pay attention to what we're doing here and use Shungite to spread the word about the sixth extinction event, and the bees as an example of how it can be turned around and turned around rapidly. This is real. And I don't want those critters to be invisible anymore. I'm on a new mission. Make them visible. Derek's been on it for a while. We're all on it. Anybody that's been into the bees. You know, oh yeah, we'll make some drones. We'll make drone bees. No. We got to pay attention. We got to... And again, we're not asking you to go to the streets, although that may be an option. We're asking you to acknowledge where we're at. Acknowledge these beings that are so critical to our lives, and to do everything that we can to protect them and therefore ourselves. Okay, back to you guys. Derek? Mark? Are you there?
Yeah, I did have a question about, because Derek mentioned cosmic silver powder. Is that something you see you'll be selling in a store sometime? Or maybe, I'm curious what uses you've used with that that were different from the S4 and the regular Shungite powder.
Sure, we're gonna see about if we can't make that more available. It's really just a volume thing, because during the tumbling process, there's only so much that's made. So what we're actually talking about here is the, I think after the 3 days of tumbling with the Shungite, and the, now it's, I don't know, many hundreds of pieces of little silver bars, the powder that's left after that is so concentrate of just massive amounts of silver particulates. And we've looked at this under a microscope, and the Shungite that's come out after tumbling under a microscope, and those images are available online. It's just a huge amount of silver. So what we're doing is basically gathering this and trying to figure out a way whether we need to maybe dilute it out some or not, because it is so strong. So I'm working that out now, and again, limited quantity. So it's not like we're sitting on a huge amount. There's only so much that comes off each tumbling process, which is why the nuggets or cosmic silver pendants are so expensive, because of the silver, of course, being pricey. But for uses, what I've done is, again, think super concentrate now. So for the metaphysical realm, what I've done, and others have done it as well, think, tap your finger in a little bit of this powder and put it up in your third eye area, the spot between your eyebrows, just kind of up. And then what I would suggest is maybe putting it on there and kind of rubbing it in counterclockwise, and then just have your intent of boosting your third eye. Or think pineal gland, depending on which level you're looking at this. And that, with your intent and that little bit of just supercharged cosmic silver Shungite powder, it, and again, the silver particulates tie in the physical frequency of your body, which is very important, where the Shungite again, removes excess and does a whole lot of things. But that little magic combination will, I don't know how else to explain it, but just think a metaphysical boost to your already natural abilities, whatever that might be. And don't just limit it to your third eye area either. You have chakra points or energy points or nerve collections, again, however you want to look at it, all over your body in different spots. So that's on the metaphysical aspect. But now think physical healing. And it's hard to even talk about that with this pattern without sounding just completely unbelievable. So I'll just be a little more vague, but I would suggest that you, or even the S4 powder to start with, but we were just talking about the cosmic silver powder. Again, tapping that very small amount and then just putting it on any kind of wound, skin issue. And I'm, again, being vague because I don't want to just say psoriasis, eczema, burns, all those are included though, for issues. So even cats and dogs. So I'll take the powder. Our little buddy Milo, who's sitting here next to me, has or had some skin issues, I guess, and I'm not a vet, but I'd call it he had psoriasis and hair loss and things like that. So we'll take the nugget initially, the cosmic silver one, and I just did it intuitively, not even thinking about it, rubbed it along his back. And he had an immediate response, just like the bees. And again, I just kind of fell into this. And within days, his hair was growing back. Nothing else changed. So from then on, we've constantly been doing that to him. And he's completely healed his whole back now. His, I guess you can call it his back and top side. Hair growing back in, the itchiness gone. So lots of uses. But that's one example of the physical 3D use for it. Or even devices in a very small amount. So, think skin creams or organite devices.
So would you say that the cosmic shungite powder is more powerful than the cosmic silver shungite pendant? Because I know the pendant would just be easier to have because it's around as opposed to the powder, which is, almost like a one-time use, right?
Yeah, no, they're both similar energetically-wise because they have the same, of course, ingredients. It's just a volume thing. But no, I guess it's really... So for personal use, I prefer the pendant around my neck if I can help it, or if I'm in my office or here sitting at home,
yeah.
I've got a big old chunk, maybe a plum size piece of the cosmic silver that I hold. But then the powder, but those aren't convenient for in devices or adding to your own whatever mixtures you're making, be it a skin product or even in a foods for a sick cat or dog or something like that. I've sprinkled the powder in, example, the wet food of a cat, well, several cats, and taking care of internal issues, many of them, digestive issues for one, but even more severe issues as well. So there's many uses.
It's probably not the word you want to use in this is power. It's more like it's more energetic. If you can understand,
sure. No, that,
that to me, because power means has one connotation, but it's energetic, and being energetic, it more energetic, it just is more conducive to working with your own thought patterns because our thoughts are so energetic. I mean, the energy coming from your own mind, your own heart, all of your energies are much more powerful than shungite or any other thing in the 3D world, because we are linked in a very concrete way to the source of everything in the universe. We're little gods, okay? We're made in the image of God. Yes, we think, we create. So if you're using shungite to enhance your own energetic thought patterns, the pure, when the powder, because I've had both, here, it's more energetic. You need so little of it. And all it's doing is enhancing the energy around you so that your energy is not fighting something lower. Your energy is flowing into a higher way of existence. The ascension, step by step.
Yeah. Wait, okay. Thanks, Derek and Nancy. Derek, you ever thought of doing like a next level S4 magnet? Because the image I had was like a cosmic silver magnet, or maybe if you played around with other ideas of various another kind of magnet with S4 or shungite.
Ooh, cosmic. Yeah, that's a nice idea.
Cosmic silver.
Yeah, cosmic silver magnet. Ooh, yeah. Now it's not going to do any more. It's not going to do any more than what we're telling you the S4 magnets do. Okay, but it's just that when again it's there's all this energy coming at you, and if you've got the cosmic S4 energy field, then it's just more positive energy coming out. It's more energetic. It's a little higher frequency. Just a little higher frequency. That'd be awesome. I want one.
That's a neat way of putting it, because Mark, you're intuitive, because we are doing similar things like that, even taking silver leaf and laying on the top part just as an extra little, silver addition and bling. But what it does when you do that, add the cosmic silver powder to a magnet, I term it kind of etheric stem cells. So when you have the shungite magnet on the regular one on a fridge, yes, it affects the organ field. The engines run smoother, less resistance. You save energy. Things get colder faster. Lots of things happen in there, and the food stays fresher. But when with the addition of the cosmic silver powder to it, that high amount of silver, I guess the best way I could describe it is, again, the etheric stem cells, meaning in that frequency field now of even the refrigerator, it removes the negative overlays, or I recently become to like terming it songs on the playlist of that device or person that are no longer needed. So it resets those to more compatible to whatever it is, be it a person or a utility, a device, a fridge. So I know it's a vague thing. It's hard for me to get across visually, but it does do that. So it removes the excess and letting you reset for what you need personally. And I don't care if that's a refrigerator or a person, but it has an effect. So it's a great idea as far as a magnet, but I have not tried them on the new type on vehicles or anything yet. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Cause that brings in the idea of mixing, the cosmic silver powder with resin. And then with the resin, you can make so many other different things like a bracelet, anklet, pendant. That's not as expensive as getting an actual cosmic silver rock or pendant, right? That people could have it more accessible because it's more affordable too.
Okay. Here's a great idea. And here's what we're doing. So again, you're picking up on things. What we're going to do, because the silver is so pricey and we have to, have to pay for it. What I'm going to do is take a fistful of the shungite beads, the ones with the pre-drilled holes, and tumble those, turn those into cosmic shungite silver beads. So now we can take one of these beads and integrate it to items. So now it's not a volume thing to where I'm having to, use so much silver. Think spread the love even further kind of deal.
Yeah, because I know you guys sell the bracelets for regular shungite, but it's like, how come if you guys can do resin, how come there isn't an S4 S4 bracelet or something? And then, yeah, for me, it would be cool to have like a cosmic silver bracelet anklet thing that's a resin. So I guess so many angles you can go with that.
Right. I'll tell you, because I've actually got them, but I also have a magnet on them. Okay. And, we can do that. Actually, Derek, we can do that, because all you do is take a diamond shaped one and you put holes in the ends of it, so that they're instead of one hole for a pendant, you put two holes, and you can actually use the beads to make a bracelet. The problem is, with the anklet one, and I've got, both, one of my, and it's got the magnet in it. We don't like to use the magnets, because if you don't have magnets in the right position, you can have a problem. Magnets are great if the north is on your skin, but if it's reversed, it can be very not so nice. So in order to not have any problems with that, we've never put them out there. But I never thought in terms of putting out just the resin addition to one of the beaded bracelets. You might want to try that.
No, that's a good idea. Yeah, I like the fact of being able to spread it out more, get more of it out there, and even in the bead form, because people are buying the beads to integrate in their own jewelry and artwork or devices, things like that. So, no, it's a great idea. And then we've also melted silver. So think, take a bead, melted silver in our kiln, and then pour it in and plugged it with silver on the inside. So now you've got a bead with silver plug. And of course, you're not going to string that bead, but now you've got a new type of, you know, cosmic shungite. I guess it wouldn't be a bead, but a sphere. So I'm playing with lots of different ways and uses of these things. I'm even taking the shungite rubber, which has the S4, the silver powder in it, and taking a hole punch and making small ones. So now think little tiny, oh, I don't know, maybe 1/8 inch diameter, little tiny pieces of shungite rubber that you can drop in organite devices, things like that. So another way of integrating it.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. So many ideas to play with. Yeah. What was I going with that? So I think you just mentioned the cosmic silver rubber. Is it where you're mixing the powder with the rubber? Is that how that works?
Correct.
So how would that change the, or add like to the energetic field of the rubber if it was the cosmic silver rather than the S4 or like both?
Okay. We're still playing with that and figuring out and trying to find uses. So right now the rubber that's available is the S4 powder in there, just so everybody knows that's what's available in the store that has always worked and is what I use on a daily basis. So that's what we're using. As far as the cosmic silver, I'm just doing it on a smaller scale, and nothing's even available from that yet because it's just in testing phases and just, again, trying to find different uses for it or seeing if it's more of a concentrate. So meaning we can take that and add it to larger amounts of things. And we are seeing that that is the case because of, you know, quantum entanglement. We can use these small particulates or volumes of the substance in various ways with great results. So I'm even think laser etching in shungite tiles, and I've put some of this online before, some images of it, and then inlaying that with the cosmic silver powder or pure silver sometimes. Just the whole gambit of ideas and things we're doing with it. But it's what I'm finding is it really is, and touching it is just incredible. So the cosmic silver powder I'm talking about. And I shouldn't talk too much about that because it's not available yet. But it's one of those things, but the nuggets are. So what you can do is have your own. So if you can get your hands on, and we'll make them available, those cosmic shungite beads, silver beads, but the nuggets that are out now that many people have, you can take that and just rub it on that third eye spot I was talking about, or somewhere else where maybe you have physical issues and already have access to that cosmic shungite silver powder. And again, it's not a volume thing, so you don't need a lot of it. Just those particles that come off will be enough to start working with, because the silver, due to physics, actually migrated inside of the shungite. So there's it can already be used, but I'll keep you updated, Mark, and also on the Shungite Reality group on Facebook of different uses and when we get enough volume of the cosmic shungite silver powder available to actually make available.
Great. Thank you. Because for me, at the very least, have you guys thought about having like a S4 bracelet, like with the beads or some kind of a bracelet thing with S4?
Nancy, have you ever tried anything like that? The first thing I would have to do is, and I'm going to try it here this week again, take that 3 days and tumble several hundred of the shungite beads of various millimeter size. So they'll be, in essence, those S4 beads. And we'll make some bracelets out of them. But I don't know that we have yet.
My consideration would be that the beads wouldn't go through the tumbling right. You might get chipping. You know,
yeah,
however, you could take the beads and put them in colloidal silver.
That's true.
Oh, okay.
That's true. Yeah, I'll try both ways and see what happens. We'll do it with the tumbling. I'll put enough in there so they don't get, for those that don't know, so they don't get thrashed around too much and actually damage the beads. So, but we'll get to try and see which works best.
Okay. Thank you. What about like a resin S4 resin bracelet? Would that be different though, right?
No, because we are doing that. They're just not available online. So we make what's called S4. I think we call them Shungite totem animals. And there's different ones. Some come in little bee shapes. So we take the S4 powder, pour it into the resin, and then a mold, and we come out with little 1-inch approximately size, sometimes dragons, bugs, bees. And so people have taken these and turned them into pendants on a bracelet, or I've drilled a hole through some of them. And like, for example, the flat dragon one, think just a maybe 3-inch dragon kind of laying flat all curled up. Mm-hmm. So we've turned those into pendants already, and they work well. The only issue would be is, don't take these resin pendants and say, go to the gym and work out with them, because the heat from your body, it's a plastic, it transfers in, they'll become malleable. So just, and don't throw it on your car dashboard in 100-degree plus weather, you know, or it's going to have an effect. So those would be the only things to point out, but we have done similar things. But there is already the S4 heart and diamond pendants that are available now on the store that have the S4 powder in them. And those are fantastic items.
Yeah, I keep buying from the store. There's so many uses for them, so I like it. You have
a teardrop. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, the heart shape, you know, with Valentine's having passed. So,
yeah.
I see in your Mystical Wares events page you have a couple interesting talks coming up: the animal communication and the spirit guide talk. Can you let us know like what to expect from those?
Sure. So he's talking about the different classes, and this is another free class that I give at Mystical Wares. And it's animal communication. So that's where I'll talk a little bit about how to do it. And of course, it's telepathy. We all do it already, and animals do too. And one little tip or trick to give you an example of what I'll be talking about is with animals, I would suggest not getting too worked up in the process of what you're wanting them to do or the message. So let's say my new little kitty here we have called Rosie, and she's a little on the psychotic side. I'm not sure what that's all about, but she runs around and it's just a lot of fun. And so I mean psychotic jokingly, and just so really high energy. So if I want her to go calm down, I don't necessarily send the thought of her, you know, Rosie, please calm down, this, that, and the other. I'll send the image or telepathic photo of her doing what I want, already laying down. Or if, you know, the dog's digging a hole, you don't want to tell the dog, stop digging the hole, go over here, do this, that, and the other. You maybe want to send them the image of the end result, already sitting down or behaving kind of thing. So we'll go over examples like that and talk about it. And then inevitably, we have a local stray cat that lives near Mystical Wares that's kind of the store mascot now, that just comes and goes as she pleases. She'll show up during the class, so we'll get to use her as an example of getting her to respond. So another quick example would be if maybe, and my daughter named her Argo, so Argo will have her back to the class kind of thing, and maybe be sitting in my office. So then you can project the thought or image of you petting the cat, so I'll pet her ear in my mind, using my imagination and energies, and then the cat will respond. And you can do this to people too, as if you're feeling, so they'll feel the energy in the ear. So that's a way of tying in that, I think, 3D physical as well as telepathic, but it's all connected. There's really no separation. It's all energy, of course. So
now you mean that the cat didn't get down and come over so she could be rubbed in the ear. You can actually see her kind of like tilting her head like she's being rubbed in the ear?
Oh, absolutely. She'll turn on, she'll go, oh, what just touched my ear? And I've done this to one example, I guess I'll say. So if there was a restaurant we were in eating, and there was a couple where the guy was being a little obnoxious, we'll just say, we'll be vague. So you can do things like say, you know, tug on his ear etherically, and he'll feel it, and that'll distract him enough so he stops being the way he is. And that's kind of a rough example. But think things like that. So I'm using kind of a good example. Yeah, and you know, tying it in the human aspect for a reason, telling you that it's not just an animal thing, it's all energies. So if you see the end result or energy, that person will as well feel it, acknowledge it, hear it, sense it. So it's not just communication. It's physical too. So you can like tug on somebody's shirt etherically and just focus. Again, it's all in your head, but you know, the woohoo's real, as I jokingly say, and we all know that, on this station, but yeah. So the cattle turns head and, or you can, you know, pet its tail or something. It'll look back like, what just tugged on my tail? We do that to my family and I, to pet stores. So I'll walk in there and just communicate with the fish, the birds, calm them down. Yeah, so lots of uses. You can go to humane societies, and I have friends that do that on their own time just to love the animals. I mean, how great is that? And then go there and just see the end result, the animal communication part, tell them you love them, and just see that state. And they feel it, and so do people.
I love it. You guys give us a lot of homework to play with. That's fun. And free tools. So things to experiment and sure. Try out there.
Yeah, you asked too about the spirit communication. There's lots of ways of terming it. You know, I kind of default to spirit guides kind of thing. So energy beings, which we all are kind of thing on. So you asked a little bit about that too. And that, just give you a quick example of what we talk about in the class, is really, I mean, if we all think about it, of course, we're all just energy beings or entities in this physical body, a vehicle. And when it's time to go, we step out, we move on, and we go to, you know, again, everybody has their own opinions on that. So, but when that happens, well, you still exist. So often when we're here in the 3D, and when we typically can't see these beings or entities in spirit form, we'll call it, you know, we forget about them all too often. Well, they don't forget about us. They can see us on these other things, and they're thinking, come on, let me help you out. Let me, you know, give you some suggestions, some energy, some love. Mm-hmm. Well, I remind people of that, and I'll say, you know, talk to your guide. Just speak in your head or out loud. You don't have to, you know, look crazy by, speaking out loud. You can do it in your head, and they'll hear you just the same. So in class, we'll do that. They'll communicate, and they'll ask for some kind of acknowledgement, and nearly 100% of the time, people are going to feel an energy, shivers. There's lots of ways of describing it, subtle energies. But they're going to feel their guides because they're there. So we'll talk about things like that and give examples.
Awesome. How did the Sasquatch talk go? You had that a couple of weeks ago, right? A few weeks ago?
Yeah, I've given that one a couple of times. I think we call it Exploring Sasquatch. And that time one actually, well, we'll just say came in and had some messages. And in fact, at that class, we had there's a Sasquatch museum locally in this area, of course, being Washington State, and it's big into that. So that, I'm not sure what you'd call him, but the individual who runs it showed up to the class and has been in it a couple times, and has great input during it. So what I was going to say there was he brings to the table the local reports, because people can actually drive by his location, mm-hmm. Their sightings and information. So we'll talk about that, and I'll give examples of my experiences in the 3D, actually coming across them, having them run across highways, all sorts of things, to the etheric, meaning hiking out there with others, where they'll grab branches and just shake them right in front of us, as examples, on call kind of thing. So we'll talk about all those type of experiences and others that have seen them. But the class goes well. And in this area, of course, it's pretty much like we know they're here. They exist. Now let's just learn more about them. We see it. I mean, they're a people. They're not an animal. It's not like, you know, comparing them to a bear or a wolf that's running out in the woods. No, these are our spiritual teachers. So when we get the classes, often they'll come in etheric form. They're not walking through the front door of Mystical Wares, but they're definitely coming in spirit form on many levels, making it known. And each class is different. So it's a lot of fun to do, and they get involved. So it's educational for all of us, including myself.
Very interactive. That's great. Do you have any more upcoming interviews? Because that paranormal one you did was really good. And then I know other Shungiders were mentioning how much they liked it.
There's going to be the Natural Choice Network, I believe it is, but it's not going to be April. There's going to be another interview released then. But what I'm excited about is, you talked about Paranormal Karen. So she has reached out to me. We're going to do additional shows on things like, and they term it missing 911. So the missing individuals in this area where we actually live in the Cascade Mountains. So I actually, believe it or not, when I drive the mountain roads to work, I come across the actual vehicles of these people that are missing. And believe it or not, I think more a couple of times, I'm probably the first one up on them because not many people can get out of these mountain spots or do it. So I'm right here in the mix of all that. And, I've looked at it on many levels and talked about it. So there'll be interviews regarding that topic and what might be happening out there in different levels. So I'll post those dates and show times when I know them, but I don't know any specific dates just yet, unfortunately.
So you'd post them up in the Mystical Wares page on Facebook, right? And then there's also a group you update us on, Mystical Wares group.
Correct. Yeah, on Facebook, there's a Mystical Wares group. I'll post it there as well. And I'll share probably those interviews too, because, they'll kind of tie in, and they do tie into Shungite, believe it or not, on the Shungite Reality pages as well. And I appreciate any help you do with posting some of those, as you've been doing too, because that helps get them out there.
Oh, yeah, glad to help.
Just a scheduling thing, that particular show is going to play the hour after this show on alternative radio, the one we're talking about, the first one with Karen. And when you go to the archives for this week, there'll be a link to her YouTube presentation. So, or you can just search for it, Paranormal Karen Derek Condit YouTube.
She's going to be up here in February. Oh, well, it is February. So she's going to be up here in a couple of weeks, actually. She's a stand-up comedian. She's been on Late Night and other things. And she's a lot of fun to talk to. So I'll actually get to meet her in person and a few other of her metaphysical friends. So I'm excited about that. So maybe we'll have to do a recording or impromptu interview at the time. So I'll keep you updated.
Awesome. Thank you. I had a local customer, Shungite customer, who was requesting if you guys would ever make an S4 ring, resin or otherwise.
Okay, I have done that, and I never released them because I made them and I bought molds for rings of. So it's not just a sizing thing that you would need, tons of sizes for different uses. But even that, it was a heat issue. So when it was solid resin, which is what I did initially, the heat from your hand would start softening the resin plastic and it would become malleable and start, being reshaped. So there was that problem. And then the other one, I bought metal, just preset metal rings, let's say, with an inlay around them, but getting the resin to lay in that trough around it was an issue. And then the Shungite rubber was a durability issue. So if I kind of punched out a, think O-ring sort of deal from that, longevity would be an issue. So I just haven't come up with anything else yet, but I'm open to any suggestions or ideas.
Okay, great. One of my favorite things you talked about a while ago was the life force meter. Have you done any kind of updates with it or measuring anything that's worth noting using the meter?
That's what he's talking about. So there's an experimental life force energy meter. So it's, I'm not sure what size. So half the size of a shoebox, the size of a shoe. So you have some idea of visuals. You can hold any item near it and it'll sense the living energy or orgone energy. I've taken that in classes. I will do videos and share them online here in the next week or so. So not long. But what I do is I'll take items like we bought some dum-dum lollipops, of course, not full of nutrients on any level, and hold them near it. And of course, as you can imagine, there's no reading or living energy indication on the meter. But then you can put things like your finger near there or a piece of shungite or I've just grabbed I don't know how many different items and putting them near there to show this, including I think a glass of tap water. So you can take tap water right out of the tap, of course, usually filled with toxins and chemicals, chlorines, fluorides, unstructured from all the pipes and 45 degree turns and other things that are going on with it. So when it's in that water and you put it near the meter, it has almost no living energy, and we're all drinking this water, and it's indicating this on the meter. So all I have to do is stick my finger in it or a wooden spoon or whatever I have available, spin that guy clockwise, vortex it, I'd say 5 to 10 seconds, and it literally indicates on that meter in real time the living energy, the charge you're giving it. So now you've molecularly aligned the molecule. So now it's living water or structured water, lots of names again. So when you drink it, this water is more biocompatible. You absorb, say, 90%+ and, you know, excrete 10%, where if you didn't turn it into this, and I use shungite energized water. So to save all of this without stirring, I put nuggets in my water, does the same effect. And we've shown this on the meter. You have the living water or structured water, rather than the non-biocompatible. That's, think puzzle box with all your puzzle pieces and it just all shook up, and that's your water. And your body, when you're trying to absorb it, doesn't see it as water, so it excretes it. So that's the benefit of shungite energized water that we can show on that experimental life force meter. So I will get more, video and show that and various. So example would be a berry plucked off of a vine right there. When I hold it near the meter, lots of living energy. Go get a frozen berry of the same type, take it out of the freezer, no living energy. Those electrons or that living energy is gone. So even though we think we're putting, I'm eating a berry smoothie and I'm getting all this, well, no, there's no living energy in there. There's maybe some vitamins, hopefully, you know, A, B, C, D, but that's an alphabet. We need energy, not an alphabet.
I would ask you to test it in a shungite refrigerator.
Okay. No, I've never done it. We'll just have to see what happens and see if the refrigerator has an effect on the meter itself in that environment. I have no idea.
No. The fruit.
I'm with you now. Okay.
Now maybe you've already done this. When you tested it, did you take the frozen fruit out of a shungite refrigerator?
No. It was from store to bag to the
okay.
Ice.
All right. Okay. Yes. If you compare the two, I would be very interested in that.
You can add. So that's a good point. And you can add or reintroduce energy to anything, of course. And you can do it simply by telling that you love it. And this has been done by studies. But as I just said, you can simply vortex or spin that water, tell it you love it, and that energy is back in there. It's realigned structurally so it can hold these living energies or love energy. And again, it shows it on the meter. So why would you not want to do that? I don't care if it's your coffee or tea or whatever you're drinking. Tell it you love it. And it'll make a huge difference.
Awesome. So many places to go with that. Experiment and share. I'm surprised there isn't like a life force meter group or forum online. I should try to look harder. I don't think I've seen anything. Because one of the people selling it, James DeMayo, I think his name is, lives up north around where you are, Oregon or Washington State, I forget. But that's where I was looking at. I think I mentioned him before when we were talking about the meter a month ago. But we could just post it in the group. Yeah,
it's neat to have that meter around. So we'll do it in the spring around the new shungite beehives. So we'll get the meter around there and see a distance wise how far until. So think approaching, have the meter on, coming at the shungite beehive, and I'll have it zeroed out. So think kind of neutral. And then we'll see, well, how far away until in the environment we start sensing it. So I'm excited about things like that. And you know, I'll post as much of that online as I can. I get, as people know, I like to do video, so we'll see what we can't capture.
So doing like a shungite beehive field radius versus a regular beehive, maybe?
Exactly. Okay. And we've done it with honey already, so I've taken the honey, and then shungite, and honey, any organic, so think any natural organic raw honey is full of living energy, especially the shungite honey. So we put that near the meter with huge indications. And then just imagine grabbing that honey. Well, we'll loosely call it honey in those plastic bears that are on the shelves at Walmart sort of deal and putting that. So you can just imagine the difference in results between some plastic bear full of high fructose corn syrup that they're labeling honey or shungite honey. And when you see it on meters like this, and it's just really mind blowing, to see the difference on how it makes.
Yeah, it's great to have a visual like that and confirmation that's physical. was I going to ask? Oh, so speaking of Shungite honey, so so you guys put the powder in there, and if I wanted to extra charge it, could I put the S4 powder in and mix it with the Shungite honey? Would that help more?
You could. You'd be introducing, of course, silver particles, which is the whole physical frequency. But honey, our honey is kept raw, chemical-free, meaning no chemicals during the bees gathering and making the honey of any kind. We don't even use smoker material anymore. We just don't need it because they're so calm. But before that, it was, again, natural mushrooms. But any good organic raw honey is going to be, well, the world's best antibiotic, and it's always been that way. So with the addition, and yes, you could add S4 powder to it, then you'd be adding, again, well, now, and they've shown it, Shungite removes things like toxins and rad particles, so radiation, or glyphosate, which is, of course, Roundup weed killer. So it has an effect on harmful free radicals. There's lots of ways of describing it, but yeah, you can add anything you want to it. And then we've had people, I've used it on, so topically, taking the Shungite honey on injuries. And again, it's not lost on me the natural benefit of the raw honey, but then just boosting it with the Shungite. We've had just incredible results. We've done radio shows on it from, you know, Maureen having a pretty severe dog bite on her hand, healing just miraculously fast with just the addition of the Shungite honey. So there's lots of ways of using it, but you could add S4 to it on your own.
Yeah, I wondered about that because I think one of the first times you came on, there was a thing about quantum Shungite honey, but maybe that was just a special, unique batch at that one time. I'll have to go back and listen to it. But is there a way to re-replicate that with just getting an S4 from you guys or something with the Shungite honey to buy from you guys?
There is. So what I can do to even make it a little easier for everyone to understand is because of quantum entanglement and our Shungite being here with Shungite bees, and that's just fact, physics, metaphysics, all of it combined. There is a quantum entanglement there. Energetically, we found it is all entangled anyway. Being that loving frequency of the bees, putting that off just naturally, not to mention the Shungite bees. But so it's really, I think it's, as far as I'm concerned, I think it's embedded in all of it already. But that's not to say, you know, don't experiment, don't try and do different things yourself and get creative. Heck, that's what I do every day, or I try to come up with new uses and try new things. I want to make sure I even answered your question there.
So the fact that the quantum honey had existed in the morphic field of that information field, then it's already quantum honey, quantum Shungite honey, is that?
Oh, yeah, it's all connected because we work in the frequency. So I'm also trying to remember, gosh, because it was so long ago, exactly what we were discussing at that time, to be honest.
It was the harvesting. What happened was that we got the first harvest of honey from the bees, and then the second one was so different. We were naming them so people could keep track. Instead of saying spring and fall because it was summer, you know, it was more like, no, this is what we're talking about. Because the energies were changing at that time as the hive matured. That would have been back in 17.
Okay. And that was then, by the time we reached what was called the quantum honey, we had cycled out, because often we start with, again, or some years I'll start with nooks or pre-existing beehives that have already have honeycomb frames in them that have probably, you know, guaranteed been chemically treated. So I was showing ways of starting rotating those out. So as we went through the different seasons or honey harvest, by that time, they were completely Shungite beehive honeycombs, if that makes sense, meaning we had already cycled through various frames and there was no residual anything. There were even new honeycomb, the wax, that the Shungite bees had built themselves. So that's now, that makes more sense and why we are terming it that. So in those days, it was kind of...
It was more than that, Derek, because when... Okay, so you had the first hives and they came together and you got the Shungite on them, okay? And then you had their babies. Well, what I was seeing was that the... fruit, because they go out and they eat different things, so the color of the honey is different every time you go to harvest it. because the pollen that they're getting is different, right? But by the time that we got to the quantum, it was the idea that all of the flowers and, well, flowers, that they were taking the, you know, getting the nutrients out, not the nutrients, the pollen off of, was put there by shungite bees. In other words, the pollinization had been done by shungite bees. That's what I saw is the key to why this was an extraordinarily different energy, even though it was all in the same area. It was the fact that that everything had been touched by the shungite bees. There was shungite, because the shungite bees, they rub up against the shungite, they take the shungite out and they drop it in the flowers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was going to say, by then we were putting the powder out, exactly. And they were walking through it, adhering to the legs, and going in the field. You're right. Yep.
Awesome. So how do you prepare for the upcoming spring for the bees and the new season, the warm season coming up?
That's going to be really the only – so no preparation for, say, the environment here, because they're going to take care of that themselves. But as far as the hives, we do if we aren't reusing hives, you know, depending on how old they are, we cycle them out, sort of thing. But we'll just basically repaint the outside of the hives with that shungite paint mixture on the exterior, not the interior of the hives, so that there's a fresh coating. And that's just for weathering issues, especially being in this moist environment up here in the Northwest. And then outside of that, there's no artificial feeding. So often beekeepers will prep what's called bee bread or just different mixtures. We don't do that. We keep enough honey, shungite honey, that the bees have made themselves from the previous year. So if our new hives need supplement food, we'll introduce one of those frames. So they have that to get them through. And we had it 1 to 2 years up here, a false spring, I think they're sometimes called, where it gets warm, the bees go out, and then all of a sudden it freezes on them again. And that's usually a big problem. So we'll keep that extra frames of honey for issues like that. So we'll prep there. But other than that, because we're what's called chemical free and organic beekeepers, we don't prep the acetic acids, the different vape strips that you would put in the hives to prep for mites, because we don't have mite issues. What we're going to do this year to prep will be, because it's been noted in the news lately that I don't remember the exact name, but a big wasp is coming down from Canada, and it's very aggressive, and they're meat eaters, so they eat bees. So we're going to do things like introduce entrance reducers sooner in the year and keep them on later, which would be, think of a beehive entrance, looking at it straight on. There's, you know, a little over a foot there for bees to come and go in that little half inch gap. Well, we're going to start closing off, say, 2/3 of that. And it's called just an entrance reducer. They're nothing new. But that limits the doorway. So the shungite bees only have to protect, think, a smaller entrance when they have these onslaughts of wasps and hornets, which happen every year in most environments. So that's one thing we're going to prep for, is, and of course have the nuggets at the entrance as usual for the bees. But the bees are, there's not a whole lot to prep for on them, because they are self-sustaining, and we don't artificial feed or anything. And then again, just, it's about watching the ventilation in this area due to funguses and things. So just keeping the ventilation good, meaning watching your environment where the wind blows and situating them right.
Okay, great. Yeah, because I know last year the wasp thing was a big, really big deal. Nancy, do you know if you had contacted Waldo about that frequency thing for the wasp, or, you know, another way to deal with it frequency-wise?
Actually, no, I didn't. I forgot. If I said that, I forgot to talk to him about it. I'll try to remember.
Was that even worth pursuing, that whole idea?
Well, I guess. I mean, I'll talk to him and see if we can. It would occur. There is an anti energy field for anything. You know, it's all programming. And so I suspect that, yes, it's, we could probably check into that.
Okay. Let's see what else I had here.
So you don't have any snipers up on the hive, huh? They just got to get into a defensive mode and hope that the wasps can't get into the hive as quickly as they can kill them off. Is that what we're trying to do?
Yeah, you basically just limit their access. I mean, there's been times where I walk out there and you can see the attack happening, and you'll see the different attacks. And there's wasps and hornets up here both, so there's all types. And they'll fly off with the bees because, again, they're meat eaters. So they don't even take the honey right away. They take all the bees away and do that. So you can stand out there and kind of try and shoo them away yourself, but, you know, that's not real productive. So it's more about letting the bees just, you know, again, limit that entrance and let them do their job. And hopefully they had shungite, so the bees, that is, so they're at peak health and strong enough to, you know, keep control of it themselves.
Derek, have you noticed a different, or if you've tried to use the cosmic silver rock or powder with the bees, if there was like an extra additional enhancement as opposed to using the S4 powder?
Okay, I have done that, and you're the first to ask that, and I haven't brought it up because I didn't want people to think they had to have that or something like that, because regular shungite has incredible, as we've shown for years now, effects with the bees and the harmful frequencies. So definitely do it. But yes, I have placed some down there, and what I've seen is they want to be on it more. They want to be closer to it, just like humans. So I've had people come in mystical wares. I've gifted them a piece of the cosmic silver shungite. They'll close their hand on it. Their eyes will kind of pop out, and they'll feel the energies, and then they'll have to shake my hand with their off hand because they don't want to release. Well, the bees kind of do similar. It's funny. They'll go over there, and I'll think, oh, they're going to walk on it, touch it, and fly off. No. Think a bunch of billy goats playing King of the Mountain. They want to be on it, and they're going to walk all over it. So it draws them to it. And then on the energetic levels, when I look at that, using intuition and lots of you know, ways of observing that, let's say, it's just straight up calmness. I mean, it really is. It's just I want to say slowing, but less static. Is the energy or feeling that, and I'm talking about the bees. This is the energy that comes off of them. And many know that that's felt. You know, the bee's frequency, just like a cat's purr, actually heals, and that's science. So, no, they respond immensely to it.
Okay, I was always curious about that. Thanks for clearing that up. I guess one last thing I wanted to cover was a meditation space. Or decompression chamber for S4, applying, like, because I know last time you mentioned, or a while ago, of using shungite tiles to make a kind of, I think the word was coffin, but a place to lie down, or like, what ideas would you recommend for customers to try out doing that kind of thing?
Actually, now that I've worked more with it, and that, not necessary, the tiles, wall to wall, across the floor, things like that. So what I've done is things like shungite paint, is just taking the particles, be it the S4 or a regular shungite powder, mixing it in the paint. We give instructions online how to do that. And there's a process you want to do to avoid clumping or streaking, unless you want that. And it's kind of neat looking. But really, just getting those particles, and it doesn't have to be tiles. So at one point, I did have a couch where I'd give sessions on, let's say, where they would be, and people would sit. And there was lined with shungite tile under it. But then I would secretly move those out and then compare how readings and recessions or energy work, we'll just say, would happen. That wasn't necessary. So everybody doesn't need to go out and buy a pallet of tiles and build their own shungite room or anything like that. It's having it in your field, your energy environment, your frequency. So having it on your playlist. So, and that can be me or the person in the room I'm talking to. Mm-hmm. Either one of us, usually it's both. And usually there's a jar of shungite water sitting right there. So it's already in the environment. And I found that that's all that's really necessary, is getting it in that energy field that the individuals are in at the time. And it's not a volume thing. So again, it's not huge amounts or anything like that.
Well, okay. I hate to interrupt the show, but we're at the end. CosmicReality.net for the Shungite products that Derek has been talking about, and Shungite Reality Facebook for seeing Mark do some amazing posting. You guys want to say goodbye to the audience, please?
Yeah, I appreciate everybody, and Mark especially. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Derek. That was so fun. All the details, and yeah, it's great. Thank you, Nancy.
And thank you both. Both. We'll see you next time. Be safe. You have been listening to the Shungite Radio Show, produced by Cosmic Reality Radio. Thank you for being here. Be safe.